And it's time to open the PC workshop and say good morning to Martin Howe from IT Know How. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you, as always. How's the old cough?
Funny enough, only a moment ago, as you were aware, I thought, clear the throat, and hopefully we will get through.
We will get through today. All right. Now, those emails. Hey, there's that nasty one doing the rounds, isn't there? That ransom.
Okay. Not seeing the emails on that necessarily.
No.
I was more concerned about the Zeus one.
There's one knocking around, which is called ransom, and it demands money from you if you don't do various things. Yeah. I suppose it's the same old story if you're worried about it, Binet.
Yeah, I mean, an email demanding money is a pointless exercise. I mean, it's powerless as far as it goes. The one that's really doing the round that I wanted to touch on here this morning is contains a piece of what they call malware called Zeus. Mm-hmm. And Zeus is a Trojan virus. It's designed to steal banking information. That's its primary purpose. It's to get onto your computer to find and capture banking information. Now, in some ways, it's not necessarily, you'd consider, it's not as much a nuisance as these ones that come in and tell you what we refer to as a fake antivirus. It comes up and tells you you've got lots and lots of problems and just pay us $79.99 and we'll clear them for you. And you think, but I've already got antivirus on my computer, and why do I need this other one? Oh, how do I get? And you try and get rid of it, and try and get rid of it, and no matter what you do, it won't go away. Mm. That's scamware. That's trying to steal things. This particular one, as I said, will lurk and it'll stick itself away, and it will monitor things, and it will try and capture that information, and it'll feed it back to its host. Again, having an up-to-date antivirus will help. Running that antivirus absolutely will help, because it'll find these Trojans that sit. And the whole point of them is, we all know the story about the Trojan horse and everything else, and that's the thing. It comes in, it sits there, and it waits for the opportunity when everything's quiet to do its thing. So by you running an antivirus that sweeps through all your files, it will find these things. But how do you stop getting it in the first instance? This has been going around. This particular issue has been highlighted through the police, in actual fact, because they're actually they are seeing this, you know, as a very serious crime, in actual fact. And they listed a few email types that you might see. Now, these are specifically aimed at businesses, but of course you might end up with it for various reasons. Because of the nature of spam, you might end up with it in your inbox, and a curiosity might take hold. So I'm here to warn you about these things so that you can actually not get curious, and you can just hit the delete button and get rid of them.
Yep.
So again, if you're in business, be aware. If you're not in business, still be aware, and just, as I say, ignore it. If you get one that says, please DocuSign this document, company changes, or something along those lines, there's an attachment with that email that they want you to sign about something, and it's almost a matter of you're led to open the document in order to apply the change. Don't. Again, it'll just stick this virus onto your computer. Voice message from unknown. What's all that about? There's an attachment. Oh, God, what's this? Again, please just ignore it. Nobody's going to send you a voice message via email unless, dare I say, you've organised a special service or facility that you're paying for. So please ignore it. Scan from Xerox Work Center. For most people, you will just ignore that. But again, if you're in business, you might actually find that you get something like that come through. UPS missed package. Now, that could be UPS, it could be CityLink, it could be TNT. I've mentioned these before. These actually apply greatly to home users, simply because with Christmas coming up, ordering online, ordering from eBay, all these things, and it's all this post turning up, and you just think you've missed a package. No, you haven't. The courier companies, you will be given, when you order something, you will be given a tracking number. You can then track your item from there. It might be the delivery company that emails you the tracking number, but you will not be sent a message to say, I missed the delivery, please open the attached file. Again, stick it in the bin. Payment overdue, please respond. That always usually gets people's attention. Again, unless you recognize the name of the company that sent it to you, that's prefaced it, or otherwise, again, just stick it in the bin. There's one going around again, specifically related to businesses, coming from Company's House, allegedly, sending you a case complaint to do with your online filing. Again, please, it's a complete load of nonsense. Mm. You might see one and think, oh, my goodness, what's happened? No, just delete it and believe me that it is wrong, because when you've received the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th ones, you'll realise this is just a scam and it really needs to be ditched. All of those have attachments. All of those should be deleted. Do not open the attachments. Other ones to watch out for all of us to watch out for. Again, to repeat myself, and it still amazes me sometimes that these people will mention, I keep getting emails from my bank.
Mm.
No, you're not getting emails from your bank. I get emails from about 4 different banks, actually. They all go in the bin. Just delete them. They are never from the bank. The banks will only write to you. Bearing in mind, I don't know if you've ever had that instance, Steve, whereby you've forgotten a password or something, or your PIN number's gone awry or everything, and you've rung them and they go, that's fine, it'll be in the post in 5 to 7 working days. And you're like, can't you just tell me now? Can't you email it to me? I'm sorry, sir, but... banks will not communicate with you. It's as simple as that, other than in writing. So just delete the bank ones.
And the way they do communicate, of course, is if once you log on, if you're going online and you log on to your account, then there are messages for you.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
That's
how
they do it.
Yeah, and well, funny, I'll come on to that in a minute about PayPal, actually. In fact, I'll jump down to that one now. And PayPal do use email as their only mechanism of communication. But people latch on to the fact that you get that they will only use this. So I receive endless emails from PAPAL or PYAPAL or variations on PayPal, where people are just trying to get me to click on a link. Do not under any circumstances click on the link. If you get anything from PayPal that says you need to update, please check your details, whatever it might be, simply take on board what the message says, read it, gather the information, and then close the email, open up the internet so that you can, and then go to PayPal as you normally would and log in longhand.
Right.
That then comes back to, Steve, what you just said there about if you go to your online banking and you log into your online banking, and many of these things now have such secure and complicated systems, believe you me, when the battery runs out in your little card reader, it's the end of the world.
Yes, I know. That worries me then.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, well, exactly. So as I said, and it's happened and it was the end of the world and I was most distressed. At that point, I ended up setting up online banking, which still didn't actually help me do what I wanted to do, but that's another story. Anyway, so when you log into your banking website through the relevant security, any messages that they actually want to communicate to you will be there waiting for you in some sort of format as a message waiting or otherwise. Even it might be the first thing that comes up. So that's how to get around that as far as it goes. So as I say, bank ones you can do, PayPal ones, if it tells you to do something, take on board what the email has said, close it, and then go to the website and deal with it directly. If you get invitations to join Facebook... again, don't do it via the link that you've been sent. Probably 4 out of 5, 9 out of 10 maybe are scams, and they are going to try and take you to somewhere in order that it's not Facebook, and you won't be joining Facebook, believe you me. If you want to join Facebook, just go to Facebook and register on the website. Simple as that. There's some going around at the moment, HM Revenue and Customs, regarding your tax refund. Oh, that's exciting. And there's a document there that you can read all about your tax refund. Again, it's a virus. Please, please, please delete the message. HM Revenue and Customs will write to you again. They will, under no circumstances, email you. I was going to say, if you just ask yourself the question, when did I ever give HM and Customs and Revenue my email address? You didn't. So that's fine. Again, ignore that one. And a new one that's coming around. Increasingly, people will now try and send these video messages, or you'll try and email somebody a photograph or something like that. It comes through on your phone as an MMS message rather than the SMS message, because it's got something attached, a media attached to it, so that it's got a photo or a little video clip or something like that. You can also send those to an email address. So, of course, I'm now getting stuff through alleging to have a photo attached or a video clip attached or something attached to what's effectively a text message that's been sent to my email account. Again, don't open the attachment. Why do I keep saying don't open the attachment? The two key things that you can do when you get an email and you're not sure. Regarding the attachments, most of the attachments you will see, and the ones that I want you to delete and not actually get involved in, are zip files. Zip files are a very old format of compressing information in order to send it to people in the days of dial-up, when you wanted to send things around. Yeah. Occasionally, you will still see online people will use zip files for you to download information and things like that. But generally speaking, zip files are a way of masking the contents and getting it through various security systems onto your computer. And as an example, and here's another one to watch out for, I actually had an email from the Cooperative Travel Company. Didn't know a co-op had a travel company, but apparently they do, and they wanted to tell me all about the summer savings I can make for 2013-2014, and would I open the attached zip file in order to read this information. Well, I downloaded, only for the purpose of this, because this only arrived yesterday, and I downloaded it for the purpose of today, just to check it. I downloaded it onto my computer and then did a scan on it with my antivirus. Funnily enough, there was a virus in it. Mm. Well, there we go. What was a surprise. So I'm trying to tell you that zip files are bad news. If you receive a zip file, nobody will send you a zip file. And if they do, invariably they'll have told you they're sending it, because most people will have will look at it and just go, that's got to be bad, I'll get rid of it. So if you see a zip file, get rid of it. If you see an HTML file attached to an email, also get rid of it, because effectively that's a web page, and it will open a web page. That in its own right could activate something on your computer. If it doesn't, it may contain content that leads you to click on something and takes you somewhere on the web you don't want to go. So if you get an email with an attachment that's got an HTML file in it or a zip file in it, particularly a zip file, just simply delete the email. It is rubbish. Even if it looks really plausible, it's rubbish. The other thing you can do is if you get an email, and again, there's a link in it to say, go here to check on something, and you're just thinking again, it's from a friend, let's say, and it says, this is really funny, click here, click on this link, and you think, really? And it says something like bbc.co.uk/iPlayer/comedy-sketch/ something. Don't believe what's written. Drift your mouse pointer over the link. And when you drift your mouse pointer over the link, a little window will pop up and tell you where you're actually going. So it might be taking you to, clubzany.com/curious link or whatever it might be. And because what you see written doesn't necessarily mean that's where you're going. Yeah. Just because that's how we've all been conditioned. That is a link to the BBC. I will click on it and go to the BBC. And you're amazed when you end up somewhere else. As I say, if you drift your mouse pointer over it, you don't have to click on it, you just drift over it, it'll show you where it's going. So that's, again, ones that you've received that could be plausible because they come from somebody you know invariably. So as I said, again, just be cautious, and if in doubt, again, just delete it. You won't offend anybody. Just get them to send it to you again if you've spoken to them and they're actually happy with it. So there are a few things to watch out for in terms of the content of your email. If it's got an attachment as a zip file or an HTML file, just delete it. It's not relevant. And as I say, if you're not sure and you've been given a link, it could even be Amazon, because some of them they'll do the Amazon. Please click here to regarding your recent purchase. And you're thinking, I haven't bought anything from Amazon for months. I wonder what that's all about. No, don't wonder. Log into your account on Amazon and go to your messages there and read them there. Do not follow the link in the email. It's probably bad.
Okay. Sound advice. And we were talking earlier, actually, I've received a couple of emails, and so has Darren, from actually a guest on the show. And this lady is in her 70s, and apparently she's stranded in Somalia and would like £250,000, please.
Oh, no, yes. That's a very curious one. Yeah. And you'd question why. I've been getting them all summer from people stuck in Spain, and the hotel owner won't release their bags until they've paid €750. Could you please get in touch? And it's almost like, well, if I reply to this email, how is somebody benefiting from that other than what's happened is their account's been hacked. So, of course, they're monitoring the replies on the email. And the person who owns the email account may now not actually be able to get into their email account because the password's been changed. I understand one Darren Daly was contacted this morning by a certain local IT company to advise that his Yahoo account has been compromised and he needs to change the password. And the conversation I was advised on my way here had been had, and he will be taking action accordingly. That, I have to be quite honest, comes back to this is a bit of a bugbear with me, and I know it would make a lot of difference to a lot of people. It's the apps on your phones and your iPads. They are insecure. And I was only reading an article at the weekend. This is how this is the new target. Apps are the new target for companies monitoring activity. It all goes via the web. However you want to sort of like consider your app is on your phone, but it all goes via the web. And what they're doing is they're taking advantage of these channels of communication, which are not as secure as actually using the websites.
Mm.
And therefore, people are using this again to capture information, important information. And so I have to be quite honest. You know, I got compromised within 3 weeks of putting the Yahoo app on my phone. And it was like, oh, for goodness sake. You know, I've been using Yahoo for years and with a really secure password. And I put it onto my phone. And suddenly within 3 weeks, it was somebody in Turkey. I got hacked via Turkey on my mobile phone, on my Yahoo account for my app, which then immediately logged into my website and sent my online account and sent all of my contacts messages. That were obviously fraud, you know, to try and scam them in some way, shape or form.
Okay.
So, as I say, I can only advise as I find the information. So please, as I said, this is the advice of somebody who's had the experience, but I do know it's happening and I do know that the powers that be at government level are now getting concerned about the use of these apps to overcome and gather information. You know, the banking ones, they talk in terms of the banking apps as being, oh, they're very secure and everything else and people have got them. Not a hope in hell am I going to put that in there. I only log into my bank account with my little secure digital bits and pieces from my PC when I can see I've got an S at the end of the HTTP and I've got a padlock and all these sort of things. Those I've talked about before, and we will be going through that in a couple of weeks' time to talk about with people making purchases for Christmas, etc., etc. But next week, in anticipation of Christmas coming up and you wanting to get in touch with your family and friends that are at a distance, I'll be talking about Skype.
Oh, yeah.
It still amazes me how many people think Skype is something mysterious, costly, and very sort of like, you know, you need some kind of Ouija board to use. No, it's actually very, very straightforward. I'll try and demystify it next week so that people are not afraid and just get on and use it.
Look forward to that. Martin, thank you. See you next week. That's Martin Howe from IT Know How, and he'll be back with us next Wednesday. Here's Robbie.